Blog Talk Radio.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. And I was just thinking, what did I do? I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden, I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought it was a car. Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am unde pleca acasă.
I don't have a bed to lay my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn. So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country? He said, Dumitru, be quiet. Get beside me. I don't know what the device was, but he pulled me beside him and he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you? This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. Their sins have reached God, and God has decided to punish them by fire. He came and showed me Las Vegas. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah, and one day it will burn. He came and showed me New York. This is New York. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. And then he showed me Florida. This is Florida. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. And in one day it will burn.
You've been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and we have a jam-packed program for you today. The memo was released a day late and a dollar short for us to cover it last week, so we'll be delving into it a little bit this week. I've invited Jeff to come on with me, and you might ask yourself, what does two angry dads have to do with a FISA memo release? And it's the fact that we're both fathers and we're raising our children in this country. I, for one, am not enthused about the idea of raising my children in a banana republic. Having read this memo and having seen just how slimy certain people in government are, I'm waiting for that old song, "Hey Mr. Tallyman, Tally Me Banana," song to come on in the background. This is Banana Republic sort of stuff, and so hopefully Jeff is there. But before we get to Jeff, there is something I wanted to talk about this evening, because it got forwarded to me. And since it got forwarded to me, I feel as though I have to respond. And that is certain Christians who are now convinced that Donald Trump is a dictator, the likes of Stalin and Hitler and Mao and Pol Pot, because he said offhandedly that he wants a military parade. And so to the intellectually lazy and the intellectually dishonest, this is all the evidence one needs to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Donald J. Trump is in fact a dictator in the making, a Mussolini-Napoleon complex Hitlerian sort of evil mind. Because the man said he wanted a military parade. I'm sorry, that's just intellectually lazy and I'll have none of it. It's like saying to someone, what do you prefer, cats or dogs? Well, you know, I like cats. Oh, so did Jeffrey Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer liked cats. You must be a cannibal maniac murderer because you like cats like Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm sorry to make noises, but I have no words for the level of foolishness that's being perpetrated upon the household of faith. 12-year-old boys like military parades. Does that make them Hitler too? Anyone with an ounce of patriotic sentiment likes to watch, you know, their bravest and finest marching down whatever avenue once in a while. Does that make them Hitler and Stalin? But see, this is the sort of nonsense that we've sunk to. We can't have a reasoned discussion anymore. And I'm not even talking about the godless. I'm talking about Christians. Because Christians, dear friends, are just as polarized as anybody else. There's people that have written me out of heaven, have barred the gates and set watchdogs upon them because I will not condemn this current administration or because I believe that it is better than the alternative would have been. We need to take a page out of Jesus's mindset here. And I was reading this actually this morning. I've been awake since 1 o'clock in the morning. So if I don't make sense at any given moment tonight, you will have to excuse me. Melina has a stuffed nose, and so she hasn't been able to sleep very well. It's just, I guess, the weather. But yeah, 1 o'clock in the morning is when I woke up, and so I had a lot of time to read between trying to aspirate mucus out of my daughter's nose. And I happened upon the passage in Mark where John goes to Jesus. And I'm envisioning John here sort of proud of himself, sort of, you know, going to Jesus saying, this is the good that we did today. He says, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Again, I'm picturing John thinking that he'd done something good and noble. And then Jesus comes back and he says to him, do not stop him. For no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Now, I've heard all the conspiracy theories about the man being a Jesuit plant. And the strange thing to me is that even his most ardent critics oscillate between him being a Big Mac-eating bumbling buffoon and a mastermind the likes the world has never seen. The critics, be they of the Christian persuasion or the not-so-Christian persuasion, would be intellectually honest. They'd pick one of the two. Either he's just a big kid with a propensity for Big Macs who got lucky and became president, or he's an evil genius mastermind pretending to be pro-life, speaking at the prayer breakfast, surrounding himself with people of faith, picking Supreme Court justices that are conservative just as a ruse so that further down the line, he can go, ha-ha, gotcha. In case you missed the last year and some days, the man's already president. If his pro-life leanings were a ruse, the mask ought to have slipped off his face by now because he has absolutely no reason to keep it on. He would likely garner the praise and the adulation of the left if he started sticking it to the pro-lifers and giving more money to Planned Parenthood and their murder mills. Everything that the man does consistently flies in the face of the perception some Christians have of him. He picked a guy who I believe is a man of faith as his vice president. Look, I like Pence. Perfect man? No. But is he better than the person who insisted at every speech to mention the LGBTQYSWWF community and how they need to be protected and embraced and how bakers who refuse to bake homosexual wedding cakes should be burnt alive at the stake? Yeah, I think better than the alternative. So let's take a step back, and before we call the guy Hitler for liking military parades, let's just be intellectually honest. Let's apply and embrace the wisdom of Christ when he said, whoever's not against us is for us. Look, if I don't have to fear prison and torture for another 3 years, I'm good with that. If it's going to be another 8 years, even better. If I don't have to fear being tried for hate speech because I say homosexuality is a sin, or that transgenderism is a mental disorder, for another 3 or 8 years, guess what? I'm okay with that. So let's dial it down a little bit, Christian brethren, with the whole Hitler, Stalin, Pol Pot, oh my gosh, military marches, we're all going to be under a dictatorship nonsense. It's not helping anybody. You're alienating people who would otherwise listen to good doctrine, first of all. You're sowing fear into the hearts of those who are easily swayed, who don't do their own research or open their own eyes. And you place yourself at the pinnacle of spiritual superiority because you insist that anyone who doesn't agree with you is deceived and has had their mind darkened. That's an easy out, isn't it? Well, if you don't agree that he's Hitler, there you go. You are deceived. Well, no, because I didn't say he was Jesus. I said he was a flawed man who is far superior than the alternative would have been, who seems to be defending family values, who seems to be defending life, who seems to be defending the innocent. And I like the fact that everyone expects grace to be extended to them personally, but when it comes to him, there is not an ounce of grace to be had. I keep hearing a quote that's attributed to him from 28, 29 years ago, where the man said he was pro-choice. So a man is no longer allowed to change his mind, to have a change of heart, to be shown evidence of what it means to be pro-choice. Because, again, I have to go back to his debate with Pantsuit Barbie and the way he described what an actual abortion is, with the tearing apart and asunder of the limbs of the baby with the forceps and the crushing of the skull. If you haven't seen that, go back and find it. I think it was the second or the third debate. And I guarantee you the way he vividly described what a late-term abortion is, someone either showed him a video or described it to him in detail. So if everyone else is allowed to have a change of heart, why can't this man? Why do you hold over his head something he supposedly said 30 years ago and not look at what he's done tangibly over the last year? So that's my answer to the email that I got earlier today. No, I don't believe the man is Hitler because he likes military parades. Just like I don't believe you are the reincarnation of Ted Bundy because you like Granny Smith apples over Honeycrisp. Or, I don't know, whoever else. Son of Sam, because you wear green socks and not black. Look, all these arbitrary measures by which people define other people are hilariously foolish. But with that, I don't know if Jeff's on the line. Jeff, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, buddy. I'm glad you're here. So I know I started off a little strong, but these emails, just they just rub me the wrong way. Did you hear? Trump's Hitler because he wants a military parade. Hitler killed 6 million Jews. He put them in ovens. He exterminated them. He attempted to exterminate an entire people. And you're comparing a guy who has the childlike wonderment of wanting to see tanks rolling down a street with a guy who basically was the prince of mass genocide. Are you insane? But these are supposed Christian scholars, man. See, we told you that he was evil. He wants to see a military parade. Anyway, what are your thoughts on that before we get into the memo? Because I personally think the memo is a little juicy. I think it's got Banana Republic written all over it, and we're going to get to it, into it just a little bit. But as far as the military parade thing, what are your thoughts?
I think after all this time of listening to the people on the left, you know, listening to the transgender community, the LGBTQSPRATTOP community, whatever, how many letters they stuck on there, just listening to the Democrats, after a while, you almost become numb to the stupidity. It's almost like talking to some teenagers that after a while, the drama is so much, you just start to tune it out. And so every time now when they say something stupid like that, it's like the little boy who cried wolf. He's cried wolf so many times, nobody takes him serious and nobody believes him anymore. And it's almost like
I'm sorry to interrupt, but see, this is my issue.
No, go ahead.
It's not the Democrats. This is an actual Christian teacher that's got a following, that somebody forwarded me a Facebook post.
Oh, okay.
You know,
What
do you think of what this brother's saying? You know, the Democrats, come on. The Democrats, if your intellectual powerhouse is Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff, you've got serious problems. If Maxine Waters is the face of your movement, put a mask on. You know what I mean?
Are you able to say who this Christian person is?
It got forwarded to me by a third party. I'm not going to get into it, but he's big in the whole prophetic thing. he's not big. He's in his own mind. I don't know. But
oh, okay.
it's so foolhardy. When you take something that's relatively benign, you know, and make such a big deal out of it, you lose credibility.
People
are start scratching their heads and going, really, have you really jumped the shark this far? That the man just offhandedly said, hey, I'd like to see a military parade. I'd like to see one too. I love to see, you know, marching bands and tanks and airplanes. Why not? Does that make me Hitler?
Yeah, you're pretty close to it. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I just need the mustache. It's hard to pull off.
Especially with very little sleep. You get the less sleep you get because of your kids, the closer you're going to get to that little tiny mustache on your face.
There you go. I'm getting there.
I know I yelled like Hitler at my children. I know I've screamed before like Hitler, you know, with very little sleep and a lot of aggravation. So yes, maybe we're getting close. You know, who knows? Maybe we're just one step away from being Hitler and all the other cats who did some crazy stuff in Germany.
But you realize that making these comparisons just reveals the ignorance of these people's knowledge regarding what these nefarious individuals actually did. I mean, if you knew what Hitler did, if you knew what Stalin did, if you knew what Pol Pot did, you'd be very reticent to compare any living human to them. These people were the embodiment of evil, you know?
Yeah.
And thus far, 1 year in, I don't see the evil. I'm sorry. And I know I'm deceived, I'm blinded, but I'm taking a cold hard look at it, you know, just subjectively speaking, line by line, not so much what the man has tweeted or said or done in the past, because again, didn't vote for my pastor, voted for a president. So let's table that one. But line by line, what has been done in the past year, I don't see the evil intent. I don't see the maliciousness and the malice that so many attribute to him. Now, if I was on the left and I was a Democrat and I saw this man that I considered an orange-haired buffoon systematically dismantling the Democratic machine, just bolt by bolt and nut by nut, I would consider him evil. I mean, I understand the Democrat position where seeing what this man has done to the Democratic Party and how he's been able to pit them against each other, you know, he is evil personified. But to the average normal human being who, you know, goes to work and comes home and hugs his kids and has dinner and prays and reads the Bible and goes to bed and wakes up to do it all over again, I don't see the malice. I don't know. Maybe I'm blind.
No, you're not blind. So why do you think that this particular person who thinks himself to be some famous Christian or notable Christian, why do you think they're steering in that direction? What purpose do they have?
I think that there's a niche of people who are rabidly against anything this administration does or says. It's been like this since before the election. So it's not like, you know, this is a newfound animus. I don't know. I'm not going to attribute malice where I don't know that malice exists. But I can't, you know, I can't for the life of me understand how you could make that intellectual leap of comparing someone to Hitler just because they like a military parade. It's beyond me. So
it's almost like we just go for the hyperbole every time now.
Oh yeah, if it's not exaggerated to the extreme, then people won't pay attention anymore.
Yeah.
You know, everything has to be the end of the world. Everything has to be we're 1 second away from midnight. Sort of, you know, just excitable, guttural, reactionary. Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, come on, just take a step back and breathe. This morning I looked out my window. I saw two deers prancing through the snow. You know, there's still beauty out there. Not everything is Hitler and Holocaust. I don't see the Holocaust a-coming. Is war coming? Most likely, but it's not because the man's a warmonger. It's because he realizes that if, you know, Chunky Kim gets his hand on a nuclear device that can reach U.S. territories, then you'd have a lot of dead U.S. citizens. So, you know, the old adage goes, better yo mama cry over your grave than my mama cry over mine. I think that's the philosophy, and I think the guys that he surrounded himself with, like General Mattis, is of the same mindset. You know, it's not let them strike first and see what they have, and then perhaps we shall retaliate. No, it's that's and I think that if you truly love the people of your nation, and if you truly love your nation, it's the only mindset that you can have. You know, better your mama cry over your grave than my mama over mine. I'm going to protect the nation and the people thereof. So if I see or feel or you keep threatening that you're going to annihilate my country, yeah, I'm going to show you what military might really is. So.
Yes. Amen.
That's, you know, and again, when it comes to this kind of stuff, it's better just to not pick a side. But again, I've never been a coward when it comes to this. And I think it's cowardice on its face to say, well, you know, to be so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly good. You know, you got to pick a side. And you got to make your voice heard, and you got to, you know, this is what I believe, and this is why I believe it. And you have to be able to actually defend your position. You know, make the argument for your position. And it's a weak argument to say that because the man wants a military parade, he is now the embodiment of Hitler. So I was just blown away. And again, 1 a.m., man, like not even a nap or anything. I think I closed my eyes in the office today for 5 minutes, and my brother Daniel caught me napping, and he laughed at me. This FISA memo, what make ye of it? I'm sure you've read it by now because everybody has.
Yeah, I read through it, and of course it was just like only about 4 pages. And then after learning, I guess there's like 4 or 5 or 6 others that are coming out that are of much greater length, that have greater detail. Clearly, I mean, it's amazing to see how the Democrats are going to try to pivot on this one. And they will. They'll pivot, and they'll do their typical thing of you know, like they're doing now. They'll say, you know, Trump is undermining the Constitution, undermining the intelligence infrastructure. He's going to destroy the country. This is just awful, awful, awful. Well, I mean, this is like they say, it's worse than Watergate. They've weaponized the FBI. They've weaponized the Department of Justice. They've weaponized the intelligence gathering mechanism for the express purpose of trying to take out a particular candidate before he's elected, or trying to take him out after he's elected. And all of this keeps coming back to the Clintons using various surrogates and operatives to funnel this information, to create a false dossier that's been used to get the FISA warrant. And from what I understand, they have to go before the FISA court every 60 or 90 days with new information to say why they have to continue to keep spying. So they kept going back, and people kept authorizing this thing. So, and they said the main portion of the FISA warrant was that dossier from Steele, which he himself, he got a lot of his information from, now they're saying the Russians, and they're also saying from the Clinton Foundation, funneled through Fusion GPS. So it's clearly, this is why they wanted Hillary in. And they thought, like I think you said on one broadcast, the hubris was so massive. They thought they were that Hillary's going to get in. Nobody would ever find out. They would clearly be able to do this crime and nobody would detect them. But now that Trump is in, it's going to get blown wide open. And this is just the beginning, in my opinion. It's just the start.
And I agree. The only point I disagree on is the idea that they'll be able to pivot from it. Because I think, look, the Democrats' biggest weapon has always been the mass media, Right now, the mass media has less credibility than a used car salesman with an eye patch. You know, their credibility is non-existent. You see these people on television for comic relief alone. You laugh at them, you snicker, and you shut it off. That's all you can do. And so they've lost their biggest weapon. And I was reading an article earlier today because I had a lot of time. It started out just such profound two sentences. It was astounding. It says, the press used to uncover government wrongdoing. Today's press is defending it. It was so brutally honest, because this is what's happening. On its face, basically, the Clintons bought a wiretap on Donald Trump. Start to realize just how much these people hedged their bets, just all the forces that were against this man and this administration, it's astounding. But what troubles me as a father, who I'm going to be here, another 20 years maybe? I'm not the healthiest cat. I like my cheese and fat, and I eat pizza more than I should. So you know what? I give myself 20 years tops. But I've got two daughters now, and to think that my government can be weaponized against American citizens, that these people consider themselves so far above the law that they made plans, contingency plans, in case by some miracle or magic Donald Trump won, they had contingency plans in place to either remove him or neuter him. And they've been doing this for almost a year, and the press has been the one going, they're still on the Russia thing.
Oh yeah,
and the whole thing that was used as the premise for the Russia investigation is this thing called the PP dossier, which is the one that steals. You know what it's about. You know, it's just, from the mind of a 15-year-old. You know, and they believed it hook, line, and sinker. And the thing that amazed me was the apocalyptic overtones that the Democrats and the FBI and the DOJ and anyone that was asked about this memo had regarding its release. What was it that they said? It would endanger assets. It would put national security at risk.
Oh, yeah.
And the only thing that happened, the only thing that turns out it did, it was embarrass the Democrats to no end and reveal just how crooked Hillary is. I mean, in his, you know, little smirky pet names for these people, Donald Trump is almost prophetic. You know, crooked Hillary truly is, you know, crooked Hillary.
Yeah.
And I think that there used to be a guy. Do you remember? His name was Grayson, I think. Democrat barked off. Just a disgusting human being.
Yeah.
Adam Schiff is his replacement, basically. You know, and right now the newest thing is that Adam Schiff apparently was trying to get information on Donald Trump and apparently naked pics. Which it turns out were to like either radio DJs or two hucksters from Russia. It was basically a morning show spoof that he fell for. You know, this is how desperate these people are for any kind of dirt, that you fall for a spoof, man. You know, and you're wondering, how exactly are you serving the people that you're supposedly representing? You know, when all you're doing is, you know, talking about impeaching Trump when you have no reason, there's no grounds for impeachment. You know, show me the high crime and misdemeanor and then we can talk. I mean, I'm an immigrant to this nation, but I've studied the Constitution. I've studied the laws of this land because, honestly, when I started a family, I needed to pick the best place for my family to live. You know, this is the one thing. I'm a forward-looking sort of individual, knowing what I know about what the future holds regarding this country and everything else in the world. I needed to make certain, you know, plans in a forward-thinking sort of manner. And at this juncture in human history, there is no freer nation than this.
Yeah.
That's the reality of it. We got our warts. We got our flaws. Lord knows our politicians, at least half, if not more, should be hung. But still, we are the freest nation in the world at this juncture.
Yeah.
And I, you know, seeing that so manipulated, seeing that so perverted by a handful of pencil pushers, a handful of people that are earning their subsistence off the taxpayer dollar, that just got under my craw in a way in which very few things have in recent years. It's beyond the pale.
So how do you see, like you said, you don't feel that the Democrats will be able to pivot, but what do you think they're going to do with their next move? Because clearly they're never going to give up. They're never going to admit wrongdoing. So
They don't have a next move. I think that the only thing left in their bag is identity politics and civil unrest. I think that's it.
What about the deep state?
I think with all the stuff that's come out, the deep state has been sort of rocked back on its heels, because I think there's still enough patriots within government wherein the deep state is afraid that if they stick their head out, it's going to get sliced.
Yeah.
So I think right now they're just biding their time and not doing much. But,
Do you kind of see them as waiting until the Trump era is gone? And then once it's gone, because clearly there's, you know, maybe Mike Pence would be next on the horizon, but after that, there probably won't be much of anybody able to step up like Trump is doing. Do you think they're just going to buy their time and then jump in and say, now it's ours?
I don't think they can afford to do that. I think that the fact that Donald Trump won was a giant wrench in their plans. Their vision was globalism. It still is. It always will be. You know, yeah. And with some of the speeches that, Pantsuit Barbie gave regarding open borders and all that good stuff, that was the plan. That was the plan for the nation. And the fact that things turned out the way they did, it rocked them back on their heels because they never expected it. I don't think they can afford to wait 8 years, because even though, you know, right now the stock market is it's normal. You have to have a little, you know, drawback after the explosion it's had over the past year and some months. So I think it's a temporary thing. But if the economy roars over the next 8 years, I don't think the Democrats have a chance to ever gain any sort of prominence ever again. So they can't afford to let the economy do what the tax cuts and everything else that have been implemented are intending it to do. So I think the only move they have left is civil unrest. I think that's the thing that they're going to foment. What Nancy Pelosi spent 8 hours on the floor of the Senate last night praising the virtues of illegal aliens.
Isn't it amazing she can stand 8 hours for illegals, but not 10 seconds for Americans?
Oh, but that's the entire Democratic Party. I think the most shameful thing during the State of the Union is when Trump was talking about the lowest unemployment rate among African Americans, the lowest unemployment rate among Latin Americans, and not a one stood and clapped, man. You know,
the funny thing
is,
no, they don't.
Go ahead.
They don't care at all. No, I was going to say, the funny thing is, I was at an elder meeting at our church that night, and then as it ended, we had turned the TV on and it was the State of the Union. And so we sat there and watched it for a little bit. And we, at that moment when, you know, he said the lowest unemployment of the black community, and then they pivoted the camera or turned the camera to the black caucus, and nobody stood up. Of course, we were all laughing. And I commented later, I said, this is the best comedy on TV right now.
Pretty much. That was the Congressional Black Caucus showed their hand. These people do not want their constituents to prosper. They don't want their constituents to do well. They want uninformed, illiterate, subservient people who are on the government dole. And I think if one thing should scare the Democrats more than anything is that lowest welfare in 40 some odd years and lowest unemployment. You know, that should scare the pants off the Democrats because their entire base is getting jobs. And once you realize the dignity of a hard day's work, man, it's hard to give that up and go back to government cheese.
Yeah.
I tell you this as someone who's seen both sides of it. We hand out food parcels here in Watertown to poor people. And you see those that are truly in need, and you see those that are just, you know, working the system.
Yeah.
And then you run into some of them, you know, 2, 3, 4 months later at a job, and you see the difference in their face. There's a dignity in it, man. When it says by the sweat of your brow you earn your daily bread, I don't think that's all negative connotation.
No.
I think at the end of a day when your muscles are sore and you're tired and your hands are bruised, but you know that you worked so that you could feed your family, there's a pride there that nothing else can replace. And it's a beautiful thing, I think. I don't think it's a negative connotation. Not completely, anyway.
One of the missions that we work with, it's a men's shelter and a homeless shelter. They let the people know that work is actually a gift from God. It is something that gives a fulfillment that, you know, you can't get anywhere else. And most of the guys, when we go to serve dinners at the mission, most of the guys there, they want a job. They want to work. Not all of them do, but a lot of them want to work. And actually at the mission that we're working with, they give them jobs there and they encourage them to try to get back up on their feet. So work is, I believe work is actually a gift from God. It's something that gives us fulfillment. It's something that fulfills a need within us. Obviously, it takes care of our families and that kind of stuff. But, yeah, no, work's not bad. Work is a good thing.
It is. And right now, there are jobs aplenty. Everyone that I know in this area, at least, is hiring. They're looking for labor. They're increasing wages. So I think if this pace keeps on, 2018 is a lock for the Republicans, and I think 2020 is going to be even better for Trump than 2016 was.
Yeah.
But do I think he's going to have? Look, sometimes the man shoots himself in the foot. You know, sometimes he is his own worst enemy. Let's be honest about it, especially with the tweeting. But
yeah.
You know, honestly, he made up a lot of ground during that State of the Union because I watched it, and it didn't seem like 100 and some odd minutes to me. I watched it tip to tail, man, and I'm like, wow, that was the quickest 2 hours. You know, and everything he said resonated. I think one of the most damning lines of the night was, you know, Americans are dreamers too. I think that was like a hammer, you know, on the nail in the coffin of the Democratic Party, because it's the truth. I'm an immigrant to this nation, but I'm a legal immigrant. I know what it takes. I'm still working out my wife's paperwork because we kept going back on missions trips to Romania after we got married. So she's still on a green card. You have no clue just how much paperwork or how much money you need. You know, for something as banal and benign as a green card or actually naturalizing your wife of almost 20 years, you know? And so I think even especially, not even, but especially people who immigrated to this country legally, who went through the rigmarole of having to do everything by the book, they're not keen on you know, just giving dreamers citizenship or anything of the like. But again, you see, let me put it this way. Personally, I think that it was a work of genius to offer 1.8 million Dreamers, you know, a path to citizenship,
yeah,
because they rejected it on its face. And
yeah,
the reason they rejected it was because they couldn't chain migrate every other person that they knew, you know.
Yeah.
And you see that, look, okay, you're here illegally. We're trying to make you righteous, basically. We're trying to get things, you know, where you can actually be a productive member of society and not live in the shadows, and you throw it back in our faces. And I think this is why today even Chuckie Schumer had to break with Crazy Nancy, because he realized it was a losing proposition. And I think of the Democratic lot, Chuck Schumer is the most naturally animalistic politician in the Democratic Party. The man would run his own mother over with a you know tractor trailer if it thought it could advance him politically.
I was going to say in the State of the Union address, he looked like he was a hyena about ready to pounce.
He was a very unhappy kitty.
Yeah, he would have had to cut his eyebrows off if he wanted to see better. He was just.
But all of them were,
Yeah.
Because for the past year, the mass media has been feeding this narrative that any day now, the man's going to get impeached. Because Russian collusion. Well, now it's come out that there's no such thing. And I think that they've got to, you know, pull the reins on the Mueller thing, especially given what we know about this memo. I think the man's fishing, and he's fishing in the wrong pond. You know, we've gone from collusion to obstruction. What's next? And I don't think it's going to go anywhere. But these people they have to hang on to something. The idea that this man's going to be president for another 3 years and then perhaps four more after that is something that they really can't bear intellectually. They can't live with the idea of it, you know?
No, well, because government is their god, and it's like their god is dying right in front of them. So our god is not of this earth. So
not necessarily government, but big government.
Government.
You know, because we have to acknowledge the nuance there. Even Jesus said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Jesus wasn't against the idea of government. See, the Democrats' God is big government, where they can take from everyone and distribute to whomever they desire. You know, and what again, evil genius or Big Mac eating goof. You have to choose one of the two. But given some of the moves that they've made in recent weeks and the way that it has just utterly befuddled the Democratic Party, I'm going to side with the evil genius. And, you know, if he is an evil genius, then he's an evil genius that's on our side. Because like Jesus said, if he's not against us, then he's for us. I'm sorry. The man has done things that, politically speaking, were detrimental to him, such as speaking to the pro-life march. You know, he didn't have to do that because he knew the blowback that would come from Planned Parenthood, from all the Democrats, from some, you know, left-leaning Republicans. But he did it anyway. This morning he was at the prayer breakfast, you know. And so I take all the substantive things that this administration has done and weigh it against the fact that the man wants a military parade, and I can't bring myself to label him Hitler. I'm sorry.
No, definitely not. No, I know people want to label him as a goof and an idiot, but it, like you said, with respect to making the deal with DACA, you know, 1.8 million people, you can see almost that he's strategizing to force the Democrats into a position where they reveal their own hypocrisy. You know, because offered 1.8 million people to be naturalized over a 12-year period, And then it's almost like he wanted the Democrats to say no, which
exactly.
then revealed that, which revealed they don't care about illegals. They care about getting people in so that they can use that as votes or as a reason to increase the government size, whatever it may be. So it's like every time he makes these moves, in the beginning when people thought that he was leaning towards the Democrats, you can now kind of see he's actually using a strategy to almost in a sense reveal their hypocrisy.
Well, it's something that they've always used as a cudgel. You know, that was their go-to. You know, and I think he has effectively boxed them in. If you look at it from a chess perspective, you know, his king's got nowhere to go. He's boxed in right now. And their cudgel, their one thing that they had, because they've got nothing left, man. I mean, every identity politic thing has been stripped from the Democrats. It used to be, you know, gender pay gap that got blown out of the water. It used to be, you know, transgender rights was short lived because everybody knows it's just a mental disorder and you feel sad for people. And so that was a short lived movement. Now they have the Dreamers thing. And apparently every time a Dreamer comes on the news and opens their mouth and you see just how entitled and self-absorbed they are, you're like, yeah, you should probably go back. You know, hasta luego.
Yeah.
Au revoir. Whatever country you're from, I'll buy you the ticket. Because honestly, you know, you can't demand that the nation into which you were snuck or the nation into which you snuck embrace you as one of its citizens and give you every right, even though you did it illegally. I'm sorry. Just doesn't happen. And the whole sympathy thing, that was the Democrats' big thing. Because the Democratic Party has lived on emotion for so long. You know, people are realizing, you know, sympathy's cheap. Emotion's cheap. They've got their own to worry about. They've got their own families to feed. And people have no problem with legal immigration. But again, I think the fact that they focused on this and they pinpointed it, we want immigrants that benefit the nation. And I think even in the State of the Union, Trump hammered this home, and I think it was brilliant. We want immigrants that are a net benefit to the nation. Are you a neurosurgeon? Are you a doctor? Are you a mechanic? Come on in. Do you not know how to write your own name? And do you think that, you know, the corner of a house is a perfect place to go to the bathroom? Then perhaps you should stay where you are. You know, that sort of mindset. If you don't know how to use indoor plumbing, maybe we can't use you. And I think that's a healthy mindset for any nation to have.
Sorry, I'm just trying not to laugh too hard. No, I'm trying to laugh over top of you, but just I enjoy when you have a lack of sleep and you get mad.
Thank you. Well, here we are.
Well, most comedians, you'll learn that they're actually very angry people. They just learn to channel the anger a little bit better. And so if God ever releases you from where you're at, you may have a career in comedy.
It's the same with preachers, man. That's the secret nobody will tell you.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the same with preachers. It's the love that takes the edge off. Because if we didn't have love, then we'd be comedians. But it's the reality. Look, I live in the middle of the country, man. I live in Wisconsin, and I walk into stores where nobody speaks English. It's Wisconsin. Imagine what California is like.
Yeah.
You know, there's a point where you flip the sign and you go, we're full. You know, gracias for coming. We're full.
We're close.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think everything that Democrats had in their basket is done. They're done.
He has definitely destroyed their foundations.
I personally believe that he has a very deep-seated animus of Obama. I think that anytime he can stick it to Obama, he does it and he relishes it.
Oh,
and I think
yeah.
when he started talking about keeping Guantanamo Bay open or Guantanamo is open for business, I could just see the little hamsters on the wheel in his head, man. Because that was one of Obama's big pitches, you know, that we're going to shut it down. We're going to shut it all down. It's just absolutely dismantling the last 8 years. And it's glorious.
Didn't somebody say that the thing that kind of triggered Trump to decide to run for president is he was at some dinner where Obama was speaking and Obama had taken a dig at Trump? And that was, in a sense, like the thing that kind of sparked him to say, you know what, I think I can do this. So I guess he's now repaying the favor. That's the hypothetical.
That's what they're saying. Look, I've watched some video of the man when he was young, and he was talking about the nation and how at some point he may need to actually step up and help. I think this is something that he's been wrestling with for a long time, and I think he saw the opportunity. It was the perfect moment for somebody brash to come along and put the Democrats in their place. And he's doing it masterfully. So again, if they're not against us, they're with us. If you don't have people waving rainbow flags coming into your church and arresting you, be thankful.
Yeah.
Don't call the guy facilitating your freedom Hitler. Just a thought.
Just a thought.
Just a thought. But again, we get into these mind bends. Well, you know, it keeps Christians asleep. Because if there was persecution, they'd wake up. No, they wouldn't. They'd walk away. Christians
yeah.
that are asleep now would betray Jesus in a heartbeat if persecution ever came. Because true believers are awake, whether in good times and in bad, and they realize that in good days, when the sun is shining and the birds are chirping, you work. Because
yeah.
the night is coming. It's a certainty. It's not a maybe. It's a for sure. We know that the night is coming when no man can work. Jesus said it. I'm not going to argue with Jesus. I'm going to say, hey, I got a flashlight. I can work in the dark. I got a flashlight. You know, no. Jesus said no man can work. And so I'm doing my utmost today knowing that the day is coming when I will not be able to do anything. And that's the mindset that we should have. But instead, we're walking around looking for any excuse to call somebody Hitler and Stalin. Hey, he wants a parade. Look, you know, hard days will come whether you're being grouchy or not. Might as well smile once in a while. And
exactly.
know this. No, the night is coming. It's a certainty, and we're back to that. If we still have a season in which to work, then by all means, let us work. And I think that's, in a roundabout way, that's the message of the day, is that we need to stop being so childish in our thinking, be thankful for the respite, and put our hand to the plow.
Yeah. Take advantage of the time we've got, because we don't know how long we're going to have it.
Exactly. All right. Well, wow. That's the fastest hour that I remember. But then again, I may be just sleep deprived. So it might have dragged on for ages. But just thank you for joining
me.
I know we didn't discuss the memo too much. But again, it's one of those things where I look at it within the context of my children and their future.
Exactly.
I don't want them growing up in a banana republic where some pencil pusher and some paper pusher decides they know best. You
yeah.
know, never mind the will of the people, we know best. That's
Amen.
How monsters are made.
Exactly.
So I for one, am glad it got exposed. I'm glad it got released, and I'm looking forward to volumes 2, 3, and 4. So
the sequels.
There you go. We'll talk about them when they come out. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Thank you.
For coming on, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I ran into Gino's time as well, but Gino, if you're still there, take it away. We'll see you guys next week. God bless and good night.
All right. Thank you, Michael. This was Light of Truth radio broadcast. And again, it will be online tomorrow. It will be uploaded and it will be put on our YouTube channel. If you have questions, email lightoftruth@handofhelp.com or check out our ministry at handofhelp.com. God bless you.